Busy with camps today. Hi, Big Joe.
How are you?
Okay, hang on one second. We'll
Weather Zone is brought to you by Corky's Barbecue. Corky's full-service catering starts at just $6.25 per person. Your guests will love the food, and you'll love the price and service. Just give us a call. We'll customize a menu for you and your guests. In Little Rock, call 501-954-RIBS. And in North Little Rock, call 501-753-3737. And remember, if it ain't Corky's, it's Now, here's Big Joe Klein.
Hi, Joe.
That's going... I'm just... Every time I hear that, it's really funny. Bird's going to bite me in the end.
I just like to see people's expressions when they hear it for the first time. I don't think that's...
That guy is so good. You tell me, you guys farming. He's in California, but
yeah, I may just have a shotgun. Just do a bunch of cuss lines and bleep them all out and play them on the air. It's pretty good. Pretty good radio. So Joe, tonight, game seven.
Massive.
That's what he said. It was gonna be big. Game six was big. This is massive.
Delicious.
This is a massive game.
So we're talking massive. About like a half rack of ribs versus a full rack with a side of pulled pork.
No, this is the killer patter. This is the barbecue chicken with the full rack of ribs and mashed potatoes.
How many bread rolls are we going to knock out tonight?
Oh, seven. Okay, seven.
Of course, it makes sense. Okay. Give me a couple of keys to tonight, because, Joe, we read a stat earlier that I don't think has probably ever happened in NBA Finals history. The Spurs outscored the Heat 60-36 in the paint and lost the game. They out-rebounded the Heat and lost the game. They had fewer turnovers than the Heat and lost the game. Joe, talk to me.
Oh, I'm just telling you, Justin, I mean, everybody who talks about that game six loss, I mean, you know, how epic it was, it's because of that. I mean, you're sitting there, and I mean, it's a dominant, you know, I think I tweeted halfway through the fourth quarter, I said something like, you know, we've been saying what a, you know, great team, you know, blah, blah, blah about the Heat. And I said, nobody ever says what a great team the Spurs are, a great dynasty. And then all of a sudden, came crashing down. And so
it's way more than 140 characters.
I think that's what's so amazing is that, you know, you just sit there, and if you're watching that game, you're just like, how did you lose this? You know, and so you won't see games like that too often. I mean, it's just, you know, when a team is utterly, you know, dominant, but the bottom line is sometimes dominance is not as important as being opportunistic. And the Heat were very, very, they hit clutch shots, they hit clutch free throws, they got clutch rebounds. You know, they were much more opportunistic and clutch down the stretch than the Spurs were, and sometimes that's enough. It certainly was the other night.
Hey, Joe, this is Evan. You think if Pop had put Tim Duncan in there for that last play in regulation when Ray Allen, they got their offensive rebound and Ray Allen hit the three, you think Tim Duncan would have made a difference?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love Popovich. I mean, I don't think there's not a better coach in the world than Popovich, but we as coaches, as good as we are, we're never perfect. And I'm sure, I mean, you know, far be it from me to question Popovich. I mean, I have no, but I didn't understand if you take Parker out, when you get the ball, you call a timeout. I mean, that one bothered me more than Tim Duncan. But I would have had, I mean, Duncan had 17 rebounds in the game. So I didn't understand that, and I didn't understand. I understood taking Parker out because they wanted to switch everything, and they didn't want him to be on a small and probably wanted help rebounding and things like that. But if that is the case, and when you get the rebound, you know, you got to call timeout if you have one. I mean, he has to have the ball in his hand. He's your best player. You know, you got to have him in there. Again, you know, I didn't understand it, and there's a reason why I didn't understand it. It's because I'm sure he's forgotten more basketball than I have. So I don't question him. I didn't understand either of those moves.
Joe, we were talking earlier, and it's not the most important thing. The most important thing, of course, is winning the game. But it would seem to me that there is still maybe some debate, depending on the outcome tonight. If the Spurs win, who's the MVP?
I think if the Spurs win tonight, Duncan's gonna have another big game. So I think I don't think they can win without Duncan being dominant. If they won with Duncan having a pedestrian game, I would be very surprised. So I think it would be Duncan.
Will they come? You think they'll come out and attack Bosch again with him? And if so, do you think they'll make a switch and put LeBron on him or do something different with him defensively?
I don't think. I mean, I wouldn't put LeBron on him because, I mean, I think that's one guy LeBron would have a hard time guarding, and I think they would go to him every time, and I think he might, get him tired, from guarding Tim, and also there's a chance of foul trouble, because they're going to Tim, and LeBron will be able to hold his own with him. LeBron can't dominate Tim Duncan, and so that. I would stay away from that one. I would stay with Bosch and I would see how he's going, and then if he gets really rolling, then you got to start messing with him on double teams or dig downs, or you can't give him the same look every time. You got to mix it up because it's too good.
Hey, Joe, I was kind of interested to get your take on two things. Number one, to kind of piggyback on who LeBron's going to guard. To me, it seems like that the fact that he can guard Tony Parker and can be physical with him and then still stay in front of him a lot has freed up the other guys to not have to help off so much. So he kind of becomes that scorer, which he can do. He's just not as great at it. Can you talk about that? And also, how strange or interesting do you think it is that on every ball screen that the Heat run, that the guards, whoever's guarding the guard, goes underneath not only the screen but the screener's defender? Does that strike you as an important part of the game?
Well, it's obviously a strategy. They're trying to entice him to shoot the ball. They're worried about them getting into the paint, so they're kind of looking at it as the lesser of two evils. I think they start out that way and just say, hey, look, we'll switch it if they start hitting. If they start hurting us, we're going to switch it. And the other night they really didn't start, killing them with it, so they didn't really, stay with it. I'm sure they're ready to mix it up, hedge or trap or switch or do something if the Heat start showing the ability to knock that down. But I think until then, I think they want them to shoot a lot of outside shots, with the exception of maybe Ray Allen. They want to stay at home on him, but they want to see Wade and LeBron shooting from the perimeter. And then as far as LeBron goes, that's why he's so great. Everybody talks about how good he is offensively and the things he can do offensively, but that guy can guard 1-5, Yeah. And then he's 6'8", 6'9", 260 to 270 pounds.
And Joe, it will be interesting to see, though, if they kind of go with that lineup where LeBron's out there with Mike Miller and Ray Allen. And that seems to be a very potent lineup for them, even when Wade's out, because you got four shooters with LeBron.
Right. No, they like that, and that's a good lineup because you're gonna have to help on LeBron. When you do, you're gonna have to. Somebody's good shooter's gonna be left open. So it's a problem, but you got to sometimes you got to try to pick the lesser of two evils, and you might. You might see them try to do a little bit of, I heard a guy this morning, I can't remember who it was, but you might say, hey, make LeBron score a lot of two-point baskets because last time I checked, three is more than two. try to maybe guard the three-point line and try to see if, they can beat them with twos. So, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of little subtle things that go on tonight, but I think the main thing is, I think Duncan's got to be a problem again, and they can't turn. Ginobili had eight turnovers. He can't. can't do that. I mean, some of the turnovers they had, especially late, were just, you know, just bad. And credit to Miami defense for it, but, I mean, they were bad, and you just can't do that. I mean, you can't have possessions late in the fourth quarter where you don't even get a shot. I mean, you just that's suicide. Mm-hmm. So turnovers, mm-hmm. as always, is the key. And then with it gets Miami going and gets them back in the game. And then, you know, Duncan has to be a force tonight, I think. I mean, he has to cause problems because I think if they can get it to him early, I think he can kind of calm everybody down. You know, gets a couple layups, a couple of and ones, maybe gets a rebound, put back, gets off to a good start. I think that calms everybody's nerves. You start trying to shoot jump shots in game 7 exclusively, man, it can get tight on you.
Okay, who are you riding? Joe?
I'm going with the Spurs.
I like it.
Nice. Yep.
I said the Spurs and 7 from the beginning, so I don't like it, but I think my man Pop's going Belushi on him tonight. I think he's giving the Belushi speech in Animal House. You know, he's gonna stand up there and say, "Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?" And it ain't over now. Who's with me?
I like his speeches a lot better than I like Spolster's speeches, because I'm still not sure that he knows what he's saying, but.
I think it's going to be a great game. I think it could go either way. I think it's a coin flip, but I like the Spurs. I like how they play, and I love their coach, and I'm going to ride them. I thought they were going to win, and so I'm not going to back off them when it gets dark. So. It's time to rise up, Justin.
So if LeBron loses 3 of his first 4 finals, how does that affect his legacy?
No, he's still great. None of them teams would even sniff the second round of the playoffs without him. Nice. So Cleveland wouldn't even have made the playoffs. No. So, you know, Miami, it'll hurt him, you know, because at the end of the day, but it'll hurt him when he's compared to Michael Jordan. It'll hurt him when he's compared to Bill Russell. It'll hurt him when he's compared to Magic Johnson. You know, it won't. But, you know, I mean, you know, those type of guys. But as far as him being a dominant player, one of the best of all time, it won't hurt him at all.
Joe, I don't have that line from Animal House, but I do have some advice for LeBron if things don't go well tonight.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
One way to bury your sorrow if it doesn't go well tonight for him. So I get that. All right, Joe, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right, Joe. Appreciate it. Big Joe Klein in the house. We come back. We'll visit.